So in the 1940s, Father Walter Chizik, a Jesuit priest, was undercover in the Soviet Union trying to spread the Catholic faith. In 1941, he was falsely arrested for espionage for the Vatican. He was eventually sentenced to 23 years of hard labor in a work camp in the Gulag. Right, some of you are not even 23 years old. 23 years in a camp. During these captivity years, Father Chizik risked his life in the camps in order to secretly offer Mass as much as possible for his fellow prisoners. As he would later write in his memoirs, quote, "We said Mass in draft storage shacks or huddled in mud and slush in the corner of a building site foundation of an underground. Yet, he said the surroundings didn't matter." As he would later write, quote, "There were no altars, candles, bells, flowers, music, snow-white linens, stained glass, or the warmth that even the simplest parish church could offer. Yet, he said, in these primitive conditions, the Mass brought you closer to God than anyone might conceivably imagine. The realization of what was happening on the board, box, or stone used in the place of an altar penetrated deep into the soul." Father Chizik, during those difficult years, never let a day pass without celebrating Mass and giving the Holy Eucharist to the prisoners. As he himself later said, "I would go to any length, suffer any inconvenience, run any risk to make the bread of life available to these men." Father Chizik, whose cause is now up for canonization, risked his life so that he and the others could receive the Blessed Sacrament. He dared to give all that he could to Christ. Now, after having celebrated Pentecost Sunday and Trinity Sunday, today we celebrate the most beautiful feast of Corpus Christi, which highlights God's gift of himself to us in the Holy Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith. As we should know, our belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist separates us from the majority of our brothers and sisters in the Christian faith. Yet, we as Catholics stand firm to the belief that Christ meant what he said he meant in the Gospel today, that the bread and wine at the Last Supper became no longer bread and wine, but his body and blood, and that the first priests of the Church, the apostles, were to continue this sacred action in remembrance of him. Our whole church life is centered around the Eucharist. Mass is what we do. It's central to who we are as Catholics. Why? Because we truly believe Christ becomes present and gives himself to us under the appearance of food. And it's a belief we have never and will never compromise on. When our Lord ascended into heaven, Christ told his apostles he'd be with them always until the end of the ages. And if he meant what he said, he literally would be present with them each time they celebrated Mass and received Holy Communion. The Eucharist, then, is God's perpetual testimony of his love for us. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter the stresses we have, no matter how disjointed our lives can be, the one thing that is constant is Christ's presence in the Eucharist each Sunday. Each week, we are guaranteed an hour where we can take a break from our busy schedules and sit, stand, and kneel in the presence of our God, where everything that is going on in our lives, we can give over to God here in the Mass for him to take over, where God shows his love for us by hiding himself under the mere appearance of food in order to give us strength to get through the next week and trust in him. You know, it is admittedly hard to grasp this beautiful mystery of Christ present in the Eucharist. But once we do, with open hearts, our lives begin to change. My seminary rector would tell us frequently, when you fall in love with God, everything will change. Falling in love with Christ in the Eucharist is up to us, though. I mean, we can come to Mass each week, and everything can stay the same. But that's because we haven't let the reality of what is taking place within this Mass sink in. That the bread and wine are changed into Christ himself, then offered to the Father. Yet when we begin to allow our hearts to accept this fact in faith, everything begins to change. How we act at home, how we act by ourselves, how we act after Mass, how we act during Mass. These all change. As the Eucharist unites us to Christ, it also unites us with each other and the whole church. It deepens our awareness of our own need for God. You know, being a college chaplain, I'm around college students a lot. That means I am frequently around, and this is hard to believe, emotions and love and drama. But just as a college boy falls in love for the first time, right? He has a sort of new spring in his step. His whole life, right, seems to change. Well, I guess you could say so too when we begin to let our hearts fall in love with Christ in the Eucharist, our lives change. We should have a spring in our step. We want to give back to him. In other words, we are inspired to live for him. For that is the fruit of authentic love. We want to express it back. After all, love always demands a response. St. Thomas Aquinas, who I believe died in 1274, he wrote today's sequence that we heard sung before the Alleluia. When writing about the feast of Corpus Christi, he said that we should, quote, dare to give all we can to Christ in the Eucharist. In other words, because God loved us so much by giving us his body, blood, soul, and divinity, himself, in the Holy Eucharist, we should strive to express our love for him back, as two people do when they're in love. Yet when we take a look at ourselves, I mean, I think we recognize that we are broken. We're tired. We're sinful. Nonetheless, today, we should strive to give all we can to our Lord to express our love to him. The procession we will have today at the end of Mass is but a small sign of our love for Christ in the Eucharist and a symbol of us following after him in faith and thankfulness. We will walk with him in song, silence, and prayer. It will be simple, but it'll be from the heart. It will show the people of Morgantown that we are thankful for our Eucharistic Lord. We're daring to give him all we can. We don't need to have the holiness of Mother Teresa or John Paul II today to begin giving all we can to our Lord. In small ways, we can give of ourselves to him. Make a point during the week to visit him in the tabernacle or in adoration. Just as frequent visits with friends might strengthen our relationships. I mean, the practice of spending time, even if it's but short, in the presence of Christ is a powerful way of growing in intimacy with him. Silence with our Lord is powerful. That's why the church is open during the day and evening. Visit him. Further, when Mass finishes, instead of immediately getting ready to leave, right, every Sunday, we should kneel down for a few moments and offer thanksgiving to God for his gift of himself, for our lives, for our faith. These are but small things. We might not be able to give our Lord much, but if it's all we have, if it's from our heart, then that's a true expression of love. Father Walter Chiswick dared to give all that he could while in the work camp, offering the Mass every day secretly. He knew the risk was worth it. Today's feast of Corpus Christi celebrates the gift of our Lord to us under the mere appearance of bread and wine, the source and summit of our faith. Yet love always demands a response back. What ways, no matter how small, can we strive to increase our love of our Lord in the Eucharist this week? Do we dare to give all that we can.